Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Holy shit, Jacob's on time. What the fuck is this?
I know, and Aki didn't respond as far as I could tell.
I said, ick.
Oh. Well, I opened up with, her name was Aki. She was a showgirl. And I just heard something, but I couldn't tell what, because the mic was turned down, or my headset was turned down, so.
Yeah, it was just ick.
Yeah.
What was it?
Aki, what do you think of Jacob?
Yeah.
Accurate. Basically.
Accurate.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, can't really fault her on it.
Should I leave that in the intro?
Sure. Fuck it.
Yeah, you want to fuck me?
Look who's fuck on time for once. This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Jacob and Aki are here. How are you two doing?
Pretty good. I'm having tacos.
Tacos? What kind of tacos?
Homemade.
Homemade?
Yep, homemade.
Nice.
I made them. They're homemade. The
oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Chicken, fish, or queef?
God damn it.
Well, this I hope there's a bunch again. Of children's games on this.
No, unfortunately.
God damn it.
I mean, you do have Yum Yum Cookstar.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least we have one children's
get
game that has been
with
ruined.
Jacob goddamn Garner. I swear I'm going to have him do that eventually. I don't think anyone of our publishers would enjoy it, but
I mean, bold of you to assume that any of our publishers like enjoy any
show
of
show.
Well, enjoy any of what we say.
A couple of them do listen because they want to make sure that we're actually covering the game. Like
okay. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Is that half our viewership?
Yes.
Okay.
And, every now and then they'll be like, thanks for the coverage, it was a really good listen, and I'll be like, what is wrong with you?
Well, one, they gave us anything, so that indicates a lot in everything.
They're at fault when you think about it. True. It's their own fault.
Very true.
That'll teach them.
Yeah. Idiots giving us games.
How dare they.
What kind of loser decides to give us games of all people?
I mean, a bunch.
Yeah, they're
Microsoft, EA,
Capcom,
Outright,
Amco.
So many psychotic people.
Yeah, jeez. And we love them all. How's everyone doing in chat? How are you guys doing? It's Sunday. This is our Thursday show. We're recording on Sunday because of the holidays. So how was y'all's holidays, Thanksgiving, Black Friday festivities?
It was also my Christmas.
Was it?
Yeah.
Early?
Yeah, we celebrate everything in Thanksgiving because that's when my grandparents are able to come down because they live literally half the country away.
Well, I'll have to play a Christmas song on this episode then.
No, you really don't. You really don't.
Which Christmas song are you going to play?
It'll just be me singing.
Oh.
Okay, then yeah, you can play it. That should be hilarious. That should give me a good laugh, so I'm for that. Go right the fuck ahead. So,
I don't think she knows, Jacob.
Yeah, no.
Good. Let's keep it that way. Jacob, how was your Christmas celebration? Did you get anything cool?
Yeah, I only ever get DVDs and Blu-rays because I refuse to buy those for myself, so I just have those as what I want for Christmas, and I got a ton.
Nice.
I got Journey to the West, The Demon Strike Back, Paradox, The White-Haired Witch, Bonraku, The Warrior's Way, Raging Phoenix, Killzone 1 and 2, and both the Deadpool movies.
I knew the Deadpool movies.
Yeah, almost every last one of these is a Asian film, so it doesn't shock me that you don't know a bunch of them. Killzone 1 and 2 and Paradox are all Tony Jaa films, and I really like him, and the others are just good movies that I enjoy. I'm surprised you don't know Bunraku.
That's it? Like, that's all you got?
Yeah. We have a $50 limit.
I know, but you said you had a ton.
Well, not a metric ton, Jesus.
Oh.
But that's a lot of movies.
He's got you there, Jacob.
I mean, I guess.
We didn't go metric on this one. It's imperial.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's fair, but I mean, like, I mean, Aki didn't get a lot of DVDs on her list. I mean, I don't know.
I got 10. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's I know, but Aki, like, you're missing.
Oh, yeah. Jacob has like 2,000 movies in his voodoo library.
It's close to actually 4,000.
Jesus, fuck.
I don't have a voodoo library.
Shut up. All right. Like, oh, Jesus, fuck. Let's look at your Xbox library, fuckface.
Yeah.
Anyway,
how many of those codes are mine, Jacob?
A lot.
Yeah.
You should watch Bunraku. It's really good. It has Kevin McKidd, Ron Perlman, Demi Moore, Woody Harrelson, Josh Hartnett, all in it. It's a really good movie.
I'm pretty sure I have that movie.
It is so good. And it's in English, so you can watch it in English.
Well, Aki, I mean, I've got some movies I think you should see if you've got a moment to write these down.
Sure, hold on a second.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, Whispers in the Wind.
All right.
To Each His Own.
Okay.
Put It Where It Doesn't Belong.
Okay.
My Pipes Need Cleaning.
Are these just pornos?
All Tit Fucking Volume 8.
Okay, we're going to stop the bit right there.
I need your cock.
We're going to
Ass Worshipping Rim Jobbers.
No. My Jacob, enough. Chefs. Enough, Jacob. So,
how many of these actually were ones I should want?
Have you ever seen Clerks?
Yes.
That's okay. The list that he gives in Clerks.
Men Alone 2, the KY.
Shut connection. Up. Seriously.
So were none of the original movies were any of those? No,
none of them are.
Starter ones. No, okay, because Whispers in the Wind sounded like that could be an actual movie. So
I know. It was great because I actually called my brother up who used to work for Barnes & Noble, and and he didn't recognize my voice, and so I called up and he was working the video section that day, and so I called him up and asked him, like, you know, I've got a short list of these artistic films. I was wondering if you could see if you folks carry them. And and he got to My Pipes Need Cleaning before he was like, wait a second, what?
As soon as I heard Whisper in the Wind, I'm like, this is familiar. Is this what I think it is? And then
you've heard this shit before?
Yes. I've seen Clerks way too many times.
Oh, I didn't realize this was from. It's been a long time since I've seen that.
It's the scene where the mom brings her kid into the video store, and it's like, oh, you have whatever
happy scrappy hero pup.
Yeah, he's like, let me talk to the distributor. Now hold on, just a moment. And the best part, if I'm remembering my trivia correctly, he wouldn't record that with the kid around. They had to record that separately.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I mean, it's
which
a
is
lot.
Why I told you to shut the fuck up because we have not, people to listen to
fuck
this.
People. not only did I get all that, but I also finally finished one of my big models that I've been wanting to get together for over a year. So I finally finished putting together my Tolgi's Fugle, and I am so happy with it. Pictures will be up on the Discord soon for any of you who actually want to see this shit. I'm writing the post now, live, so...
Nice. We're gonna sit here as you type this, and I gotta keep talking because otherwise the truncate silence is just gonna fuck everything. Jacob, did you do anything for Black Friday? Did you buy anything cool?
No, we're broke as shit.
Okay, fun.
I understand that feeling. I've spent over $1,000 of the $800 that I make every month.
Yeah, I think we've gone over that math before, and it doesn't add up.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem.
Who are you? So, like, what are you selling on the side? Is it like
nothing?
Kidneys?
That's like, the problem. probably I might have to pictures? Do that sometimes. No. No, my feet aren't pretty enough for that.
Oh, I mean, don't mine aren't either, short. But stop.
Oh, no, I have had ingrown toenail surgeries, and those messed your feet up.
Oh, yeah.
I vomited a little in my mouth.
Me
thank
too.
You.
Oh, holy God. Aki, please, I can only get so erect.
Oh, gross.
I hate my thigh.
That makes you feel better. I do too. Your life specifically.
Speaking of things to hate, that could lead into
you know what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving? What? I'm thankful for being on the podcast with you two silly bitches.
Aww. Disgusting.
Yeah, we're gonna ruin the mood because news this week, after Kevin Conroy last week life sucked again. This past week, with the passing of Jason David Frank, the White Ranger, at
Green
age 49.
Ranger.
Well, yeah, but
the Green Ranger part's the most important part.
No way, White Ranger was way more important. No way. Like no, when White Ranger, when White Ranger came out, like all
Green
I remember.
Ranger for life.
Shut up for a second. I distinctly remember in fourth grade, all of us. Like, because there was only like one or two kids in fourth grade.
Oh.
Shut up. There was only like one or two kids in fourth grade who still watched Power Rangers. But when the White Ranger story arc happened, we all fucking tuned back in for that shit. And we were like, oh my God, did you see that? Like, holy shit. No, White Ranger was fucking awesome. And like, I eventually do want to get like the Hasbro, like $30 action figure of that. I love the talking sword too.
Samba, I think was his name.
I thought it was Saba, or
that something. Might be right. It's been a long time since I've watched that movie. Where he, I have the movie for that one. Well, where they,
those are not good. I watched.
Oh no, they're terrible. But
yeah,
I really like that the Ivan Ooze one very specifically because it is so gaudy and terrible that it's hilarious. I love it so much.
The idea of Ivan Ooze, I thought was so weird as I was watching it because I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Is David Warner or Malcolm McDowell not returning your phone calls for like generic evil villain? Like, he was just dumb.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, the news wasn't fantastic. It also made me realize you got to be careful writing out what his role was on the show if you go with white over green. You might want to drop the power. The Green Power Ranger sounds fine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I had to reword that. Xbox allegedly offered Sony a 10-year contract for Call of Duty to remain on PlayStation. Sony declined to comment, and they're still being bitches.
Well, it is Sony. They're.
Hello?
They're what?
Huh?
Aki just like drifted away from the microphone. It's Sony.
Yeah.
They're bitches. It's just what they are.
Yeah. It's getting irritating that they
pull this shit constantly.
Yeah. They pull this shit
unabashedly.
Like they have exclusive bullshit going on with Callisto Protocol and Hogwarts Legacy. And
wait, they have exclusive stuff with.
They have Callisto? An advertising deal, at least. I don't know if there's anything exclusive or not, but they have the advertising rights. Was watching wrestling last night, and they're like, the Callisto Protocol coming December to PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. That's it. Like, oh, yeah, oh, they paid for that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Jeez, so, that's bad.
You know, they could buy all the exclusives they want, but, you know, Xbox buying Activision is a step too far, despite them offering 10 years. Of Call of Duty in a contract, which is way more than they have to do.
Yeah, unless Sony's allowed to buy it, Sony's not okay with it because Sony is a bunch of cunts. I thought we went over this 100 times with me in here before.
Well, they are doing something positive or negative, depending on where you stand. They are cracking down on the easy platinums in shovelware on the PSN store. Sony states that supplying different trophies is not enough to differentiate a product, so stacks might be going as well. It's an initiative against the spam and repetitive content. I think like Zidalon gets some shit, Rattlake gets some shit, East Asia Soft gets some shit. Some of it well-deserved, others not as well-deserved. For having really short games that give quick achievements, but at least they have full games, where on PlayStation, they'll sell one level of a game with a platinum, and then level two
seriously?
With a platinum. Yeah, ew. They're a buck each.
Okay, I can kind of understand where they're coming from with knowing that now, because originally I thought, well, that sounds kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But with that knowledge, okay, yeah, I kind of understand. That's fucking stupid.
They have some absolute trash over there that is just clogging up the store, and they're cracking down on it, which is, it's good to see. I think the Sir Khaled saying the Airy games, that's pretty close in my eyes. Those Airy games have not done anything different. Anything.
Sure.
Root beer, they're being looked at by the FCC, the Biden administration, Sony are being bitches. I'm way over my head with this one. No, Sony are being bitches about this one. Sony are being bitches.
They always have been.
They've been bitches from the beginning about this. They're whiny bitches. They're hypocritical bitches.
If they could buy it, they would. And they'd be like, oh, it's not that. But because Xbox is finally, possibly going to be cutting in and getting closer to their level, they can't handle that.
Where was the shitstorm around Insomniac?
Nowhere.
Everyone said, oh, that's where they belong. They just made an Xbox game.
Was
an Xbox game.
I still remember when Sony fanboys got pissed.
Trying to pretend Microsoft isn't one of the top evil companies. Dude, they're all evil. All corporations are evil. They're
companies.
We're rooting for one evil. Shitty company over another shitty company. They're all evil. They're all run by corporate insane
jackasses
who only care about profit. As a gamer standpoint, Sony are being bitches. I don't care if you don't agree with me. That's just, in my eyes, that's how they're acting. They're being unbelievable hypocrites. They can lock down Spider-Man as an exclusive. They can lock down Wolverine as an exclusive. And no fuss, no muss at all. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it's...
It's what?
It's sad.
Yeah. But anyway.
What is wrong with my mic today?
I don't know. Sony Honda Mobility wants to compete with Tesla by putting PS5s in its electric vehicles. I think that's a cool initiative. Plus, they're going against Elon.
anything to knock Elon down a peg. Yeah. Hell, Dr. Robotnik is more moral and ethical than he is. And that just, no one should be that bad. So someone on Twitter actually made a big list of all of between the two and was like, yeah, no, Dr. Robotnik is significantly more ethical. It's like, wow, that's bad. Man.
Twitter's doing great, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they lose
50 of their top 100 advertisers?
Supposedly.
Only that many? I'm shocked. I mean, they have less than 1,000 employees now. At the beginning of the year, they had over 7,000. They have less than 1,000 now. This Twitter is fuck. Someone needs to take it from him and... Hopefully they can get enough of the original people back that they get that tight-knit group back together, because otherwise...
Think it's too late. I think it's gone.
It might very well be.
Thimber says that's why I moved to Hive. Yeah, we're over on Hive as well. I wish they had a web client for Hive, because like I want to share the show on there and tweet on there. Tweet on there. God damn it. I want to Hive on there.
So
I want to buzz in my Hive, and like I don't want to do it on my phone. I want to do it.
Wait,
on
they
my
don't
browser.
You can't do it on a browser. What?
No, they only have apps.
What? Ew.
And also, I mean, like I don't mind Hive, but at the same time, like holy shit, like that app loads so fucking slow.
Well, I'll also point out. Apparently, it's only run and Everything is done by just two people, from what I understand. I don't know if that's fact. I don't know if that's factually true, but I've heard that it's everything is done by just two people, which is why it's not doing super.
All right, AKA don't do anything too big privacy related, and make sure you keep your DMs safe for work for the time being.
I mean, if you think about it, Elon Musk now owns the largest library of dick pics ever.
I don't know about that.
He owns all the pictures.
Jacob's making sure that he faces some stiff competition.
Oh, God.
Anyway, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Pass. Wave 3 is launching December 7th with 8 new courses. Well, 7 retro courses and 1 brand new one.
Okay.
Good stuff. I love that Mario Kart is still releasing more content. I love it.
I mean, didn't they say it was going to?
Yeah, they have one more coming, too.
I think that's one more.
How one long ago more. Did that game come out? Is that game,
last it feels year, like I the, thought.
Mario really? Kart 8? No, it's older than that.
I was about to say, it feels like that game's been out for, like, many years now. I'm shocked they're still putting stuff out for it. They have kept that alive for a good long while. Providing people still actually play it anyways.
Yeah.
And they're not just releasing everything into the ether.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe review from April 2017. There you go.
That's an ancient motherfucker.
So it's been hanging around.
That's impressive.
Not to mention it was also a Wii U game. So.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
I mean, it does, because that's where it started.
It doesn't count.
Joe does have a point there. Occasionally he makes a good point. Yeah,
every now and then. EA Sports College Football is coming back in summer of 2024. That is when they are slated to release their next game.
Nifty.
The excitement is palpable. Last bit of news I have, Running with Scissors has completely pulled Postal 3 from sale on Steam, citing, quote, DRM issues and the overall shittiness of the game itself.
And that's why you don't release games with shitty DRM.
No, it's just the game itself was shit.
Well, that doesn't that too, shock. Yeah. Were any of them particularly good?
One and two were pretty good. Three was really? Garbage. Four was supposedly decent.
There's fucking four of them? Jesus.
What are we talking about?
Your face.
There's four of them. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's why it's that would
actually. I mean that actually, you know, would be reason for concern. So
yeah, Postal 4 No Regrets. It's on Steam now. Half off $20.
I hate it just based on its name.
Yeah, you should. That's fair. Either of you have any news to talk about?
The season pass for Callisto Protocol.
What is the full story with that? Not like the what we think it. Like, what is the official word on what is included in the season pass?
Okay, what is actively straight? I just had it. Give me a second. Okay, so what very specifically is in the season pass is the Outer Wayskin collection. Fair enough, I guess. Then there's the Contagion bundle, which is a added extremely hard difficulty, as well as 13 new death animations and the Watchtower skin collection. So it's going to have the actual animations within that bundle, which is in the season pass. Then there's going to be the Riot bundle, which seems like it's going to be some sort of horde mode like thing, and also has some new enemy death animations in it and an engineer skin collection. And then there's going to be some sort of story DLC that they haven't listed a lot about. So you're getting four different skin collections, three or four. You're getting a new game mode being Horde mode, a new difficulty that's really hard, has reduced ammo and health drops and permadeath. So it's like the super stupid difficulty. And 13 new death animations for your character and 12 new death animations for enemy characters. So you're getting animations.
So the complaints are about the animations being included?
Yeah, being behind a paywall. Yeah, seems to be the big issue. Which, I mean, understandable. Granted,
How much are they selling those separately, though? Like, maybe they're like the season pass bonus.
I'm not sure. I don't know if any of that is actually listed yet. No, the price of that stuff isn't listed solo yet.
I think the jury's still out on whether we should be pissed off at that or not.
However, each one of the sets of animations are included in a bundle itself. The first one is his death, the player character's death animations. It's included with a skin collection and with the new difficulty mode. So all three of those are going to go together. So you'd have to buy that bundle, it seems, to get them. And the other one is the horror mode, another skin collection, and then the enemy animations are in another bundle of their own. So it looks like you'd have to buy two different bundles at the very least, and those do not seem like they're going to be bonuses.
Yeah. Because
they're actually part of stuff that is called specifically a bundle.
Yeah. I don't know. They're claiming that they didn't cut this content, and it's new content that they're creating.
It's
going gold. You got to be paid for the work you do.
True.
Oh,
but it just feels weird to be like, yeah, now that the game's out, we're gonna work on animations for kills, and you're gonna give us money for it. That just seems, I don't know. That just seems a little weird to me. I also don't like having to pay for fucking difficulty modes.
That's kinda dumb.
Yeah, as someone who has played all the Metro games and therefore had to buy difficulty modes, it pisses me off. So all the Metro
difficulty
games did
and
that
accessibility
bullshit.
Should be included in the game. That shouldn't be DLC.
Yeah, it's fucky. Paying for a horde mode, fine, fair enough, I guess. Especially if they had a whole bunch of maps for it or something. It seems like it's just going to be an area in, like, the game place. It doesn't seem like it's going to be like, oh, you can play horde mode on this map, or this map. From what it's reading, it seems like it's going to be one area. I don't know if they're going to expand on that or not, though. Because, again, there's not a whole fuck ton of information out about it yet. There's only snidbits. So, we'll see. I do like the fact that they're given, you know, new skins and stuff. That's kind of nice, providing they're cheap anyways.
I'm still hoping I could get the GameStop Collector Edition of that one.
Of course you are. Surprised you don't already
have
it
pre-ordered. Have you seen the statue for it?
Yeah, it looks pretty bitchin'. It looks real good.
Yeah, that thing looks dope as shit. Monster with its head split. Oh, want that.
Yeah, it's nice.
I do have a pre-order on it. It's just not paid off, and I'm hoping I could afford it. I gotta find some stuff to trade in.
There we go. Okay.
What other news you got?
That was it.
All right, Jacob, what about you? Any news?
Splinter Cell is getting a adaptation by BBC Radio 4.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say there was going to be a remake of the games or something. I was excited.
No, it's supposed to be like a new story in the series. It's going to be like a radio drama starting December 2nd. At 2:15 in the afternoon on BBC Radio 4. Alternatively, you can get all 8 episodes of the 30 minute. I don't know if the episodes are 30 minutes a pop or what, but anyways, can just buy it as a box set from BBC Sounds, also on December 2nd.
Even if it's a box set, I'm thinking they're 30 minute episodes, because if there were just like 30
I would figure
minutes
as well.
Total. And there's a box set for that. That seems kind of lackluster.
And yeah, it starts. When does it start? It starts
December 2nd.
On the 2nd? Okay.
Amazon 6 VHS cassette tapes.
It's called Splinter Cell Firewall.
I might listen to this. I like Splinter Cell.
Ooh, what else you got?
Look it up. Any Sonic news or movie news?
No, actually, I don't.
Guys, you have Aki waiting
for movie news.
I mean, and then you fucking fail to deliver time and time again.
I mean, if you really want me to be that prepared for you,
be prepared, motherfucker.
Oh, I'll be prepared for you. Aw, yeah.
See, when you speak, everything sounds so disgusting.
Aki's vagina just makes the window shut down noise. God.
I found some stupid little Mega Mouth thing today.
What?
It's called a Mega Mouth. It was from the 90s.
What do you do with it?
I don't want to know what that means.
Just makes stupid noises with it.
Yeah, I see you holding it up to the, the microphone.
Not, the mic's not picking it up? Damn.
No.
Not at all.
Stupid noise
gate. It looks like you're trying to hold up like a flashlight to the mic.
It is a flashlight.
Nice.
Or is it?
I mean, anything's a flashlight if you're brave enough.
True. Should we get to reviews?
Yes, before my intrusive thoughts, thanks to you guys.
What kind of intrusive thoughts?
I have a bunch of Joe and I
making out. Nice.
Oh,
glad we're on the same page. And Joe is looking like he wants to throw up. Fantastic, love it.
First game to talk about tonight is Cobra Kai 2 Dojo's Rising, developed by Flux Games, published by Game Mill Entertainment. Released November 8th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Eagle Fang Cobra Kai Miyagi-Do, which is your dojo? That choice begins your journey, but then it's up to you to recruit the most powerful team as you master your fighting style and battle to solidify your dojo's legacy at the All Valley Karate Champion. Jacob, what's going on in Cobra Kai 2 Dojo's Rising?
So if you recall the first one, that was more of like a 2.5D brawler, which the idea behind it wasn't bad. It was fairly repetitive. It was a media tie-in, you know, nothing special. So with Cobra Kai 2, this one obviously is giving us the next part of the Cobra Kai saga from the Netflix series. And with that, they've definitely, the developers have actually, you know, they've done their homework on this. But of course, you know, are the improvements really worth it? And so with this, they move away from the 2.5D brawler, aspect of it and try to move it to a complete 3D one, with some limited success. So that being said, the game starts off with a tutorial section and you learn the basic movements, how to punch, how to kick, how to grapple, throw opponents, how to jump along walls and stuff like that. And it also introduces super moves, which I mean, those are standard for the beat 'em up genre, but honestly, as soon as I saw, we're going to have this kind of stuff. It would be one thing if it was just this kick just knocks the absolute shit out of your opponent. He flies back 20 feet or something like that. Okay. But these are legit,
it's Street Fighter 2 with ice.
Yeah. It's just these are out of Street Fighter 2 or something like that. And it's just like, oh, okay. Because like, I mean,
superpowers after, just out of nowhere.
Yeah, which of course, if you're a fan of Cobra Kai, I was, oh, wait, what the fuck? This is not even in the show. But okay, whatever. I'll deal. So that part, that's actually kind of solid. I was impressed. But then you also have to use your camera to figure out, obviously. Move it around and get a better idea of your surroundings and also help you with some of the puzzles. And the camera is absolutely, absolutely god awful in this game. half the time, I was at this weird, it was almost as if the camera was sitting there on the floor and I'm looking up at everyone. And I just found it incredibly hard to navigate. And it, like, I almost wish that there was like a fixed camera instead for these levels. And it's just it ends up becoming more of a pain than it's worth for this game. And it actually makes like it actually is the reason for a lot of difficulties that I had moving to the next parts, because a lot of it is, all right, well, you've cleared out this area of bullies, now you need to climb over this dumpster and then climb over this fence, or like hop between these two walls and climb over here. And it just, it made it such a pain in the ass to get anything done, that it was like, and I hope that this is like something that, you know, can easily be fixed, like, because honestly I thought everything else about the game, plot, you know, taking liberties with the plot aside, like, I thought the rest of the game was fairly solid, like, and it was like a correct, you know, I don't want to say evolution, but, you know, step forward, if they're going to keep making more of these Cobra Kai games. But like, holy God, that camera, it just needs to be fixed so bad. Like, I
don't know why cameras in 3D games are so impossible to get right, it seems. I also don't know why Predator, my cat, won't shut the fuck up. She's being loud tonight. I don't know if the mic picked that up, but I hope it did.
It picked up on you saying, well, shut the fuck up.
Good. Cat.
but yeah. And
the whole time you're talking, all I hear is,
oh no, we're not hearing that part, or at least I'm not.
Punk.
Yeah, so also the voice acting in the game, I believe it's actually done by like most of the cast from the show.
Yep.
I will say this, it's really hit or miss. Like, you can tell who is there, like, you know, who is there to, like, you know, yeah, I'm in character and I'm blah 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 blah, and who is there to, like, yoink, this is an easy paycheck. So yeah, I don't know. It's a mixed bag. It's not the worst, like, movie tie-in or TV media tie-in beat 'em up I've ever played. That goes to you, Beowulf.
Wow, shots at Beowulf out of nowhere.
Yeah, also I'm thinking of Watchmen, The End Is Nigh. But yeah, it's not the worst. It's not the best. Honestly, I'd put it at a try it for right now. If they improve the camera, you know, then obviously it warrants another look. But currently, yeah, I would just say try it.
Cool. Up next, Yum Yum Cookstar, developed by First Playable Productions, published by Ravenscourt, released November 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $39.99. Released on Switch back in October, get ready for a brand new cooking experience with Yum Yum Cookstar. Stir, fry, chop, and bake your way through over 70 recipes in an energetic new cooking competition hosted by Chef Yum Yum. Jacob, what is going on in Yum Yum Cookstar?
So with this one, this is more aimed at the casual gamer, obviously. But
I mean, the team that made Cooking Mama, right?
I believe so. Like, because I've heard that essentially the Cooking Mama license is like going away or something like that, and this is what it is now. But it's like the same exact thing. But I've also never played
like Harvest Moon, where like the company kept Harvest Moon, but the developers changed, and now they release. Well, I can't remember what they release now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I know what you're talking about, and I had read some sort of thing, but I don't know what all it is. So
I'm just intently staring at chat, hoping someone would be like, oh yeah, they're the developers.
No, everyone's like, oh yeah, I know, there is some drama. Thanks, Thimber. So I never played any of these games before, so I'm always up for trying out new stuff, especially if they're family friendly. Story
Seasons, that's what it is. One of a bit.
Thank you. Anyway, so with this, you are playing this like little cook character, and you are having to prepare all these different recipes for these three judges, and each of the judges has like their own personality. Like, one is like a music pop superstar. One of them is like, you know, the judgy, stuffy British guy, and then the other one's just that guy. And that guy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really remember anything about the character. Like, because
his name's Jimmy, he just hangs out.
We actually found him out back. But if you're familiar with like the Great British Bake Off, you know, or similar shows, you know, it each one of the judges fills like a specific role. Anyway, so in this game, you have to make up all these different recipes, and some of it, before you can even do that, you have to learn, obviously, the processes in the kitchen, like cutting up stuff, using the oven or your freezer properly, you know, to obviously cook it to the right temperature, using a mixer, mixing the ingredients, measuring out the ingredients, all that kind of stuff. And each one of these is its own, like, little mini game. Some of them are just like a simple press the A button when, you know, like the button is highlighted. Other ones are more of like a rhythm game, to like almost like a DDR kind of thing. And then other ones are very like, if Kinect still existed for Xbox, you could tell which ones would have been like a Kinect kind of game.
Rip.
Like having to like chop up vegetables and stuff like that, or like using the mixer, like you have to almost like a Mario Party, like you have to like spin the stick a certain way, and so you have to learn all these skills, and then you can apply them to the different things you can make. And it could be anything. It could be rainbow waffles, it could be unicorn poop cookies, it could be like ice cream, it could be all sorts of stuff. And yeah, it's just, I mean, it's very simple. And I mean, there's four different difficulties for it. There's like a relaxed one where it's just like, yeah, you make cookies. Next one is, all right, we throw in a timer. And this one, like, we don't include, like, you know, the motions you're supposed to do here, you know, good luck. And then the last one is just like, you know, you better know what you're doing because you're supposed to be like the chef. And you know, that's your job. But yeah, honestly, I thought it was fine. Like, it's not exactly the most, like ambitious, family friendly casual game out there, but honestly, it was pretty fun for what I was doing. And, my kids actually got interested in it too. Sam was very intent, on, watching me play it for review. And like, he was actually like keeping the beat during certain stuff. And I know if there's ever a time when Silas isn't around, like, he's definitely going to be playing this. So, honestly, I thought it was pretty fun, and nice. I'd recommend it.
Well, the game is sitting at $39.99. What's your verdict? I need more than a sigh.
No, because I had to think about it while I'm also, like, I'm still recovering from my cold. And still, like, also I had to suck back snot at the same time.
Beautiful. Yum yum cook star. So, delicious. Like, I'm gonna Photoshop your face on the yum yum cook star cover.
Thank
art.
You. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway,
at least someone will.
Wonder if I could change it to a Y to a D.
Dumb dumb cook star. Yeah, I don't know if they'd really appreciate that. Anyway.
I could appreciate it though.
You're not the publisher of the game, Aki. Anyway. So with that, you know, if you're a hardcore gamer, I don't know if I'd really want to spring for that $40 and maybe just wait for a sale. But, you know, if you're looking for like a family game, like a good casual family game that you could just pick up and, you know, put down whenever, appropriate for the kids, like you don't buy very many games, then yeah, the $40 price tag is fine. So it's really like I got two ways of looking at that. If you're a hardcore gamer, wait for a sale. If you're not, go ahead and buy it.
I'm losing my mind right now because I'm in the middle of Photoshopping your face on the Yum Yum Cook Star, and I wanted to make your hair match the pink from the Yum Yum Cook Star hair.
Okay.
And it just dyed your entire hair and beard pink, and it looks hilarious, and I'm going to keep it that way.
Okay.
I can't wait to show you
that. Pepto hair. Fuck yeah.
This is beautiful. Next game to talk about, Legend of Keepers, Career of a Dungeon Manager, developed by Goblin Studio, published by Klebaiter, released November 18th on Xbox One for $19.99. Legend of Keepers is the perfect mix between Dungeon Defender and Roguelite. You've been hired as a dungeon manager by the Dungeons Company. Your job is simple, protect their dungeons. Jacob, did you protect the dungeons? Because I had a hard time doing it.
Yeah, I did too. With it, and this is one of those games where I also kind of feel like it would work better with mouse and keyboard than a controller.
Yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, so in this game, it's, you know, it's as the description says, it's a mixture of tower defense and a roguelite. So with this, you are hired to start, you know, making all these the defenses for dungeons, and how you do that is a mixture of traps and monsters that you're going to put in there, and you have a certain amount of rooms that you can mess with, and the game lays it out in a tutorial that I had honestly a hard time figuring out, because it didn't seem like it was like it didn't seem like I was placing stuff where it was telling me to, but then it would advance anyway, and I didn't really jive with how it worked, but whatever, I ended up still playing some of the stuff. And yeah, and so traps are exactly that. They're traps, and the monsters are all these different monsters. So you can, you know, you can level them up. You can, you know, get attributes, all that kind of stuff. And with that, after you've set it up, you know, in comes the roving band of heroes. And there's two ways to get rid of them. You either scare the shit out of them, where they run away, or you kill them all. And so that's how you have to set up your dungeon. Wash, rinse, repeat. And, you know, in between stuff, you know, you could level up your monsters or whatever, but it's just,
yeah, they have all these different events that you could do. Like, you could talk to a therapist, or you could deal with a merchant. Random events will happen. The meat of the game, though, is definitely setting up the dungeons, though, and fighting the heroes as they come through. I like that every dungeon, it can randomize, like, which one's going to be the trap room, which one's going to be the enemy room. You have to manage which monsters you want in which set of rooms. You have to manage how happy they are, like, how much energy they have. If they're getting worn out, you got to send them to, like, to the spa to relax and get their HP back. So there's yep. a lot of micromanaging with this. That's wrapped up in this roguelite where you just got to deal with these heroes coming in and take them down. And it's fun when you have like a plan in mind, like I'm going to use this to power up and I'm going to take these guys down. But then you find out there's a weakness and you got to like adjust on the fly, and you got to, instead of killing them, you have to switch over to scaring them away instead.
Yeah, and I'd also like to add in, like, I really felt like this is not a game that you can really relax to. For me, this was one that remember Autonauts way back in the day? Like, yeah. that one, I was just like, you guys cannot pick up and play this one. Like, you need, this is what you're going to be focusing on for the next X amount of time. Do not focus on any other games. You need to, like, just chunk out huge blocks of time for it. This is one that I felt like was very much like that. There's a lot of depth to it that you don't like, you're not gonna realize until you get into it, and it's not a bad thing. It's just you have to think of that beforehand, you know.
Yeah, I do have fun with it, though. I can appreciate what it's trying to do.
Oh Jesus,
what?
I just saw your picture of me.
Oh, the picture? Yeah.
Oh, God.
I kind of wish that the, quote, complete edition was just the edition of the game. I think $20 is the complete experience would have been a good price instead of $35 with the DLC. But even if you just go with the base game at $20, I think it's worth a try. It's yeah, definitely unique. It's fun, though. I'm having fun with it. But it's, I don't know, it won't be for everyone.
Yeah, I can agree with a try it on it. As I said, like, this might be a game that's more meant for PC than Xbox.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, if you can handle the micromanagement, there's a lot to like in this one, though. And if you don't, then just look at the image for this picture and appreciate Jacob's pink facial hair. Next game is Inertial Drift Twilight Rivals Edition DLC, developed by Level 91 Entertainment, published by P-Cube. The DLC released November 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4 and PS5 for $9.99 as DLC for Inertial Drift. Inertial Drift is available for $19.99. Challenge the Twilight Rivals in all new story content. When the Twilight Rivals arrive on the scene, they quickly establish themselves as the hardest challenge you faced yet. Jacob, what's going on in the new DLC for Inertial Drift?
I mean, did you like Inertial Drift?
Yes.
All right. Cool. It's like four or five new cars, you know, four new rivals, and there you go. Have at it.
Honestly, what inertial drift is, what is inertial drift?
All right. I mean, because that's pretty much what the DLC boils down to. Did you like inertial drift? All right. Well, cool. Then here's
more of it.
Yeah. So inertial drift is this arcade racer that places a ton of importance on drifting, and you're gonna find that your cars don't turn particularly well. Why? Because you're supposed to be drifting everywhere, which could either be like, you know, some people are like, oh my god, this game is arcade heaven, or you could be like me, being like, all right, I can appreciate what you're doing here, but this is arcade hell for me, because I am atrocious at this. Although, like, I'm getting better, like, hooray. But so with this,
well, the thing is they have the twin stick controls, right? That's
right. It's
twin stick controls. Yeah,
so it's twin stick, where the left stick, it like controls your car technically, like, but if you're gonna use it to try to turn anywhere, you're gonna have a bad time. In that respect, the right stick is actually what you're drifting with, and so that is going to take you, you know, it's going to take you a while to get it figured out, but when it works awesome, and when it's not working as you want it to, you're just like, God, I hate this game, I don't know, next race. Yeah. And so with the DLC, as I said, it's four new racers of all varying difficulties, and the game does tell you, like, this is what their car is like, this is, like, how difficult it's going to be. So naturally, I went after, like, the most difficult guy, because I didn't read any of the stats. I was just like, oh, this guy's car looks cool. I'm going to race up against him. Turns out it was actually like the toughest guy, and I finished a minute behind him, which I'm not going to lie, I didn't think was actually too bad, all things considered. And so I'm like, oh, whoops, I went after the toughest guy. I should go after the easiest guy, who I finished like 5 seconds behind, and I still have yet to actually beat because I'm friggin' awful. But yeah, honestly, like, I dig the game. It's not exactly for me, but I appreciate what they're doing, and like, I get it. I also get that I suck at it. But that being said, if you liked Inertial Drift, yeah, totally drop the $10 on this. It's worth it.
Cool.
Like, there's plenty of new races for you to try. You're gonna face like some good competition from all four of them, because I still have yet to freaking beat them. But you know, it's worth it.
Cool. All right, you got one more game to talk about. That's called In Extremis DX, developed by LNDFRR or Lindfer. I don't know. Published by Cubite Interactive, released November 17th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. In Extremis DX is a shoot-'em-up game that aims to bring an engaging and fun experience to the player while also experimenting with the nature of the language of video games. Jacob, what is In Extremis DX?
This is a weird fucking game, first off. It is a shoot 'em up through and through, but it also enjoys turning the idea of what really goes into a shoot 'em up on its head. And so with that, it's I mean, you start off with a couple of weapons that you can swap out later on as you go through the game and level up. But also as you defeat certain areas, you know, certain stuff will unlock, and then you can go back and replay through, you know, previous stages, you know, and try out new stuff. But that being said, the actual like levels that you're playing are like really weird. And it's just like, you could have one level where, you know, it looks like you're going up against a classic, like Space Invaders or something like that. Next one, you're going through your 10th grade music class, and like you're in a spaceship blasting away trombones and like drums and all this other weird shit. And then the next one is this weird, like, I just don't even know how to really describe it, because it's almost more of a maze than like a standard shoot 'em up level. And it's just, yeah, and the game gives you multiple paths that you just, like, it encourages replay of the game, because obviously you're going to have to go back and level up and get stuff. But yeah, like, my main issue with it was honestly, like, even on, like, what would be considered easy, I was still struggling so damn much to get past, like, the second wave of levels. It's a very difficult game. It's one that you're going to have to play over and over and over again, to, you know, to just get really the feel of the levels. It's like, it's not something you could just blast through, unlike like a lot of like arcade shmups. This one's going to take like a lot of thought and precision behind it, and you really have to keep track of where you are on the screen, which I know kind of goes without saying for shmups, but this one oddly more so. I don't know how else to describe
that. $5. Is it replayable enough at the $5 to be worth it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely worth it. It's definitely an interesting take on the genre. So if you're a fan of the genre, absolutely. If you're not, this one's not going to go easy on you. so yeah, but it's totally worth the $5.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, woo-hoo. that is it for you. Do you have any final words?
No.
Aki, anything?
No.
Toodles!
Next game, Evil West, developed by Flying Wild Hog, published by Focus Entertainment, released November 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. A dark menace consumes the Old West in solo or co-op, fight with style and visceral explosive combat against bloodthirsty monstrosities, eradicate the vampire hordes with your lightning-fueled gauntlet, become a Wild West superhero. Aki, did you have fun out in the Evil West?
Yes, I did.
Well, tell us about your romp.
Okay. In this, you play as a gruff cowboy, and I mean really, really gruff fucker, and you're blowing up train tracks to stop a train. That is the very first thing. The game opens, and you're blowing up train tracks.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's so fantastic. You come to find out that you blew up train tracks because that train was carrying vampire and monsters, mutated people via the blood curse. In other words, other types of really shitty vampires that aren't actual vampires. so you could get to a vampire to get information out of them. and that right there, the very opening, if you don't like the very opening of this game, you're not going to like the game, because that is all it is this entire time. It is, almost all of it is set to like an 8 to 11, like the entire
time. Oh, Lord.
You very quickly go and, you know, you deal with the issue at hand. And then you go back to meet your father, who's the head of this giant vampire slaying group, basically. And, let's just say some bad things happen and, you're one of a select few that are left, so you need to go out and go kick the shit out of some vampire cunts and have some fun doing it. Throughout the game, you have lots of collectibles you can get. You have some money you can find. The enemies don't drop any money. It's you find them in chests and stuff. You use that money to buy upgrades for your weapons. Sometimes it's like, oh, you can get some more shots in this. Other times it's, you know, now this gun is electrified and fuck yeah, that's super awesome. Or, hey, here, now you can punch things and cause them to explode into little bits.
That works for me.
Yeah, I know, right? So throughout this game, you're powered with, you know, pistols, rifles, shotguns, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. And then you also have this huge, and I mean fucking massive, gauntlet that is electrified and has three blades that stick out of it so you can stab a motherfucker. Again, I emphasize huge because, like, even when your character runs around, they have that arm just dangling straight down because they can't move it back and forth while running, like, you know, you do when you run. So it just hangs down there behind him, basically kind of dragging behind him because it's so heavy. Which is really funny attention to detail. But this gauntlet is electrified, and that they have just created this power to help defeat the vampires. And it's really fun to just go hit, electrify. It's fun. I enjoy it. It makes things go pop. But throughout the game, you meet a whole bunch of different enemy types. But the main enemy ends up staying one young female vampire named Felicity. She is basically the enemy most of the game. She and her father have decided we need to stop the humans because they keep making better and better clubs that, and they're getting better and better at killing us. So we need to just wipe a good chunk of them out and send their asses back to the fucking Stone Age. and then we'll be okay. We'll stay the dominant species, but if we let them go, they're going to kill us all. So you have to deal with her and her father and them creating new types of vampires and trying to solve the few vampire problems that exist. And trying to take over the entirety of the United States, ye old Western United States. And yeah, it's just, it's really great. And it has a whole bunch of one line. This is like if Duke Nukem had a better story was set in a Western with vampires, this would be it. There are so many
Wild Hog, the Shadow Warrior developers. So they know over the top and insane.
Yeah, and I'm just going to point out, I don't particularly like the Shadow Warrior games. I think the main character is kind of a racist caricature, and I just don't like him. So I've never thought the stories of those were particularly good. The story in this is really good. It is really funny. It's not going to be like, oh, this is one of the most monumental stories out there, but it's really good. The main character, just some of the things he says is just funny just because of the way he says them. Like, sometimes you'll break open a chest and you'll find money, and he's just like, money. I'm like, all right. That doesn't match literally anything else you say or do, but okay. you meet some allies in it. They don't technically fight with you, but you get to interact with them. There's a really sassy doctor. There's an older black man who seems to be kind of like a mentor for you. He was a friend of your father's, and he is made out of piss and vinegar, and I love him. and there's a couple other characters you get to meet as well, but those two are like my favorite too, is the black guy. And you have him right from the very beginning of the game. He's with you while you're blowing up the fucking train, and just he's just grumpy, and it's fantastic. He just hits that right level of fuck you and leave me alone, and I love him. After you beat the game, which you're going to need to do, you have to beat it on each difficulty. I'm sure they probably stack. And then you're going to have to play through it again because there is a new game plus mode for it. And it apparently adds new enemies. I didn't see any. I haven't completed the new game plus or anything, but I did start it and I haven't seen anything new yet. But you can set it at a higher difficulty so you can keep getting the achievements out of the way, but you need that in order to make enough money to actually upgrade everything, because there is an achievement also for having all your weapons upgraded to max, every ability bought. And I went through the game and I have maybe half-ish of them.
So you're gonna be busy with that, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to replay the entire thing to get that. And it might even take me partway into a third Jeez. One. There's also collectibles that you can find, you know, little bits of story, like notes from different characters, you know, and from civilians just in the area, stuff like that, that are nice. Lots of them are voiced even, which is really interesting. So you'll pick up, you know, a letter from a character you never see or have met or heard, and it is still voice acted by that individual, and it's really nice. They have a lot of little things that are just really nice about this. You can even, as long as you don't beat the game, which is a mistake I made, you can go back and replay any level you want to get any collectibles you missed. So that's nice too.
Oh, well, the game is $60. What are your thoughts?
I am so totally for this. It was really funny. The action's really good.
Well, works for me. Next up, Goat Simulator 3, developed by Coffee Stain North, published by Coffee Stain Publishing, released November 17th for Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $29. He provided by Keymailer. I don't know if I fucking mentioned that shit now, but whatever. That's right, we're doing this again. The Ba has been raised, and Pilgor is joined by other goats, too. You can invite up to 3 friends in local or online co-op, create carnage as a team, carnage, or compete in mini games and then not be friends anymore. Get ready for another round of utter mayhem. Lick, headbutt, and ruin your way through a brand new open world in the biggest waste of your time since Goat Simulator 1. We won't tell you how to play except in the tutorial, but merely provide the means to be the goats of your dreams. Aki, how much fun are you having with Goat Sim 3?
Well, I've almost 100%ed the game.
Really?
Yeah, I could have 100%ed it. I just haven't been bothered to go back and do the last thing that I need to get the last two achievements in the game, because it's a collect-a-thon at this point. I have to go get a bunch of collectibles, and I haven't been asked to actually go and do it. I've had plenty of time to do it, I just haven't. In this, you're a goat, and you're a goat. It's so hard to tell you what this game is about, because it's not about anything. Okay. The very opening of the game has you in a wagon. You get beady-eyed as you wake up, coming back into consciousness, and look in front of you, and there's another goat, and you look to the side of you, and there's 2 more goats, and then someone tells you, "Oh, you finally woken up now, have you?" And it's fucking Skyrim.
It is fucking Skyrim.
Fucking hate that. And that right there, that's the fucking game. Everything about this is shit like that. None of it makes any sense. I don't know if there's any story to this at all. It's such gibberish. It's so weird. Oh, God. You can summon UFOs. I don't know why. You do.
Why not? I mean, really?
Yeah, I guess. You get long goats, which are giraffes, but they're called long goats, and it hurts my soul, but
Isn't the pig like yummy goat?
I think it's tasty goat or tasty something goat, like that.
Something like that.
I don't know.
It is so stupidly good.
Yeah. That is an apt description of this game. Stupidly good. I cannot tell you next to anything about this game because it's fucking gibberish. Absolute fucking gibberish. And none of it makes any sense.
I nuked a fucking town. That was fun.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was a Fallout 3 joke from Megaton, the very first city you find, basically. You can set off a nuke. And that's what that was. And after you set it off, you can occasionally find people who have, like, legs and arms growing out of their arms and legs to indicate that they're mutated. Just weird. Like, there's an area where you find basically IKEA stuff and help a Swedish person put it together, and then it turns into a portal that just summons a fuck ton of Swedish people. It just keeps teleporting them out of it. I can just throw my hands up in the air and be like, what the fuck? That's what this game is. That's all this game is. It's just, what the fuck?
Yeah. That is accurate.
Yeah, you can lick things, which is basically grabbing onto them. Not that you can move them around in any particular way. They just kind of flop around wherever and no rhyme or reason for anything. You can set yourself on fire, electrocute yourself, and then fire it out of your horns at people, which is really fun. you can steal cars, even though you're a goat. You can ride bicycles, which is a bitch to do. You can jump from really high heights and then just splat on the ground and then get right back up because there's no health bar until the end of the game anyways. And the whole game seems to be collect accessories for your goat. And some of these accessories do things, some of them don't. The ones that do, some of them cause some extra mayhem, some of them are gooberish shit. Like, you can find a hard hat, and its description is something like, oh, it makes a hazardous environment. What it does is you can push the right bumper, and things just fall from the air. Could be a hammer, it could be a rake, it could be a person. It's usually a person, and they just hit the ground. That's yeah. It. Sometimes they hit somebody, and that's real funny, but that's not that's not a normal occurrence, because it's just, they land at random. And then, like, there's a bunch of little mini things you can do that the game tells you about when you find them. Like, for instance, you can get ballerinas to dance really fast, and once you do, you get some points for leveling up your goat tower. But also, when you do that, now they've started spinning so fast that they've created a tornado, and they run around in the game world. And the tornado sucks things up and just throws it around, and that won't go away anymore. That is part of the environment now. Fucking deal with it. I did that in a section when I was trying to find a bunch of pink boxes to throw into a house for another.
I'm working on that like now, that. Too. I'm working on the fucking pink. There's so many fucking pink boxes.
Yeah, you only have to throw 40 of them into there. There's over 100. But hopefully you didn't set off the tornado before doing that, because the tornado will suck them out of the fucking house.
I don't know if
and
I did
throw them around.
I don't know if I did the tornado, but I did nuke the town.
It's just down the fucking road from that box hunt.
Mm.
It's literally just down the fucking
road. I did do the yoga. That was pretty fantastic to sit and do the whole yoga scenario. I don't want to give anything away, but
is that the one for sitting there for 5 minutes or whatever?
Oh, way to give it away. Said I didn't want to give it away, and you went and gave it away.
That doesn't really give it away, because it tells you to do that. Actually. Once you're in there, it tells you to sit there, and you'll figure out what it does. But basically, it's like, sit there for some like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and I don't mean in game time; I mean real time.
For 4 minutes, and you're expecting a trinket, little trophy for your patience. It's just so stupid. This game is stupid.
The yoga guy was creepy.
That's the best word for it. It's just dumb in every aspect. And I absolutely love it for it. The best part, it's only $30.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's not bad for it. As long as you get along with the what the fuck nature of this game, that's a really good price. If you do not get along with the what the fuck nature of this game, you're not going to want it even if it was $5 because you're just not going to like the game.
Yeah, there's no real goal or any. It's just an open sandbox to do whatever the hell you want and have fun.
Yeah, and none of it makes any fucking sense. None of the shit you do makes it. Like, ballerinas turning into a fucking tornado.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Nope. It's just that's the entirety of this game. It's what the fuck, yeah. The game. That's what they should
and just I love it for it.
The game. I don't think they could get away
with that title.
Well, they could like bleep out the you and fuck.
Other games need to do is tell me how I could find a friggin' goat in a box edition because they apparently never released it in America. They just canceled it for America. That sucks. And I don't know how to get one. I looked on eBay, there's nothing.
I guess you have to see if you can buy it from some European place.
I hate this crap. Anyway, next game, Lonely Mountains Downhill, developed by Megagon Industries, published by Thunderful. The latest DLC released for free November 17th, and the game is available on all platforms for $19.99. Our friend Andy Sperry wrote in a review of the new DLC, Redmore Falls. This is what he's got to say. Lonely Mountains Downhill welcomes a brand new trail to Redmore Peaks, Whispering Lake. Experience Redmore Peaks all over again. The latest download content, released November 17th. The new trail is available for free with the purchase of the base game and features new and exciting challenges for the beginner or expert rider to conquer. As with the rest of the trails, there are explore, beginner, expert, and free rider time trials and crash challenges unlocked with level progression. Completing these will offer new gear, including outfits, backpacks, and paint jobs, all from a water elemental themed set. As part of Redmore Peaks, Whispering Lake features an exciting trail riding experience through mountains, valleys, and even down a waterfall. Painted among a beautiful autumn scenery, a player can take the easy road through the previously marked trails or white-knuckle it down some lofty mountain cliffside jumps, through streams, across secret wood and stone bridges, as mentioned earlier, down that big-ass waterfall. There are also two new scenery locations for the player to find along the trail. Certain bikes are required to complete challenges, so most players can enjoy the new trail. Only those with some experience can truly unlock and complete all that is offered. Lonely Mountains Downhill is an easy-to-pick-up and play, offering simple and to learn controls and levels that can be easy or hard as the player wishes to make them. Completing a run and knowing that it can be done faster or with fewer crashes is what really drives the replayability of this title. This is a great game to pass the time and even offers an online leaderboard to check your stats against others. At $20, it felt like a solid price considering all that goes into a title such as this, and the continued release of free content from the developers. If that hasn't convinced you, there's also a free demo on the store. The game is developed by Megagon Industries, published by Thunderful Publishing, a company that continues to push some great titles, so grab your mountain bike, pick up the newest DLC, and enjoy some downhill jams. All right, thank you so much, Andy Sperry, for writing in that review. Sounds like the new content is worth grabbing if you are a fan of Lonely Mountains Downhill. Have you played that one at all?
No, I've never touched this game.
No. You should.
Maybe.
One final game to talk about tonight, Finding the Soul Orb, developed by Tonguk Bodor, published by East Asia Soft, released November 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $6.99. Presented in first-person perspective, this is a story-driven adventure that blurs the line between haunting realism and surreal dreamscapes, a journey that tests the mind and will of the player in one instance and invites exploration and discovery the next. Ever balanced between light and dark, will you survive to see it through? Aki, what is going on in Finding the Soul Orb?
Nothing about that blurb's true. just say that right here, right now for everybody. This is effectively a walking sim with very light puzzle mechanics.
No, that's a fancy way of putting it.
that's an extremely generous fancy way of saying it. Basically, what you do is you walk around and you find these circles that are in the ground, and when you step on them, it brings up this text bit that tells you a little bit of a story. And you just step on those and you read the story if you want to. I mean, you don't have to. It's not like the game forces you to step on any of them, but the story is kind of interesting, so you might as well. I kind of, I thought it was okay. It wasn't the best story, but it wasn't terrible either. It was okay. And then eventually you find a crossbow. And with that crossbow, you shoot werewolves occasionally that show up. It only takes one arrow, each one, and you can shoot them from a distance far enough that they won't even attack you. Because you do, it does take a little bit of time for you to reload that fucking crossbow, because that is semi-realistic. Crossbows take a are a bitch to reload, I know from personal experience. Yeah. Occasionally you use the crossbow to shoot other things, too. But mostly it's just shooting dogs from afar, basically. You know, occasionally there's, like, a switch that you have to shoot at in order to cause a gate to open or a door to open or to make something move from side to side so you can get across to some water or something. But generally, you're just shooting werewolves on occasion. And that's really it. And that's the entire game. There's like 12 levels or something like that. I don't remember anymore. It's been a while. I think it's something like that. Each level has, you know, a demon statue for you to collect for an achievement. They don't have any story or anything behind them. Nothing talks about them in the story. They're just there to be collected. You occasionally have an imp to shoot on a level for an achievement. Game doesn't talk about those either. They're just something to do for an achievement. And then otherwise, it's just playing through the game. Which is just walking from point A to point B and occasionally shooting some big doggos, basically. And that's it, really. That's all there is to that. Graphically, it's okay. It's not amazing. It's not terrible either. It's okay. Everything is fairly streamlined, so you're not going to get lost anywhere. Collectibles aren't too hard to find usually. A couple of them are a little difficult to find because you have to find your way through different areas to actually find them, but most of them are just slightly off the beaten path. Like, you might be like, oh, here's a big area and I'm supposed to walk from here straight across to there. Oh, but there's a house to the left. There's a collectible on this level. I wonder where it is. And then you just walk through the fucking door and it's sitting right there. It's very simple. As for the imps, you can usually hear them because they're flying and you can hear their wings flapping. Also, when there's nothing to shoot, you put your bow away. So if you've destroyed the imp, you won't have your bow out anymore. Very easy to figure out, oh, is there an imp around here? Did I just pull out my bow randomly for no fucking reason where I'm nowhere near wolves? I wonder if I should be listening harder. That's the name of this game. Just pay just ever so slight of attention and you will get this.
Nice. Well, it's only $7. What are your thoughts on it?
For $7, yeah, I think it's totally worth that. It's you'll probably spend 2 or 3 hours on this, maybe, because you're not moving super duper fast or anything. But the little bits of story, I thought they were kind of interesting. So $7-$8, that's fine. Yeah,
cool beans. Sure. All right, that's it. We're done. Yay! Woo-hoo! Finished with this episode. Music this episode. Well, it was your Christmas. Why don't we play something Christmassy?
Sure. You said you were going to sing, so
let's not.
No, you said you were. So no, you got
have
to now.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas, even though it's still November.
See, I would be okay with you actually singing that full song. Yeah, I don't think your voice is that bad.
I have a good voice. Deal with it, people. Here's some music. Good night.